Fundamental Baptist churches, we preach with Christ. We have Christ in our messages. The Lord tells us that all the people who are responsible to God for their sins, most of them are on the broad road that leads to eternal destruction. From the book of Matthew chapter 7, in verses 14 to 15, it says here, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." In verse 14, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." It is sad, nevertheless true, that clergymen are watering down the gospel in order not to offend their congregations upon whom they depend for their financial support. You know what? I've been there for the past 34 years. But I'm not afraid to preach God's word. 34 years, long years. It's not an easy thing to be there preaching God's word in 34 years. Oh, you might be asking now, "Oh, Pastor, is that how old you are? Is that how old you are?" Of course I'm not. You know, I just turned 55. I started preaching when I was 21 years old. I just turned 55 last August. You know, although I look like 60 and feel like 18, you know. You know what? But I never shunned preaching God's word. I never regretted preaching God's word. Because there is power in preaching God's word, ladies and gentlemen. I never claim to be an expert. I'm still learning. I'm learning a lot. And you know what, pastors? I learn a lot in this church. The styles and everything. I learn a lot. I'm going back to my country, to my church, to the churches that God has given me, and start to apply some of the things that I have learned, I've gotten from this church. That men's prayer advance. You know what? If Pastor Scott would come to the Philippines, we will start one. That prayer advance. And I would like him to see the work in the Philippines. You know, and he will preach in our churches there. And we will, of course, force him to speak Ilocano and Tagalog, you know, because I am forced to speak English here. You see, brethren, we are not afraid to preach the gospel. The Bible declares, Apostle Paul said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of salvation." Preaching the gospel. Now, why we preach the gospel? I have several points to tackle with you tonight here from our text. Let's look at the first one. You just do like this when I'm done, preacher. Okay. And I'll quit. Okay. Now, in verse 10, it says here, "For we must all," of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad." The first reason of preaching the gospel is this, the judgment of the believers. The judgment of the believers. The Apostle Paul uses in the book of 2 Corinthians, if you try to study it carefully, if you have time, the Apostle Paul uses the word "we" 26 times in this chapter alone. 26 times. And it is speaking only to real Christians. We will someday, listen, we will someday have to stand before our professed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to give an account of our words, our thoughts, our deeds since we've been saved. You know what, my brothers and sisters in Christ, the reason why I keep on doing the things for God, I keep on serving, I keep on preaching, because I know God is going to judge me someday. And not before long, listen, not before long He will come and take us home. With all the signs of the times we have now, you pray for our country. There's a, in the Mindanao area, there's an earthquake there. 7. Magnitude 7, intensity 7, an aftershock of 6.3. And you know what? the Philippine government is doing its best right now to rescue the victims in the Mindanao area. It's in the southern part. Signs of the times. Just lately, Japan, you know, was struck by that super typhoon and all of those calamities everywhere, not just in the Philippines, not just in Asia, but all over the world. These are all signs of the times. But listen, let us not worry, because that day when Jesus Christ will come and take us home, we will see Him as He is, face to face. And we will be judged according to our works. And all of us will be rewarded someday. I see adults here, gray-haired men and women, keep serving the Lord. And you will never regret, because God will reward you someday. Praise God, when Jesus Christ will come, I will have a new heart. I'll have a new heart. Not an operated heart. I got that quintuple bypass last 2013 when I came here. And I thought when I arrived here last August 17, I'll go to the hospital again. But praise God, that chest pain went away. That's a blessing. Listen. All of us believers will be judged someday. It says here that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians reveals this. Second, for the sake of time, the judgment of sin. Why we preach? Why I preach? Why Pastor Scott is still preaching today? Because of the judgment of sin. Why Brother Kenneth is going back to the Philippines and start another mission? Because of the judgment of sin. Listen, if sin will not be judged, I don't have any business preaching. I don't have any business roaming around the states of the United States of America and presenting the ministry in the Philippines, especially the Bible seminary. I would just sit down. I would just go back to my country and just plant rice right there and do nothing but to stay at home and maybe do other things for my wife and children. But you know what? Sin will be judged someday. Sin will be judged someday. That great white throne judgment, I tell you, the reason why we take opportunity to preach to people, distribute gospel tracts, is because these people will die with their sin. If they would not come to know Christ as their Savior, they will die and go to hell. The reason why we have that SWAT, that soul winning action team, we are teaching our students to do that job. You know why? Because we want those people in my country and in your country, we preach to them God's word, because if they would not hear, they will die and go to hell. Oh, many of those people, they refuse gospel tracts. Oh, what is this? You should be giving me money. You give me money, this will not help me. But we gave them anyway. We keep giving those gospel tracts. And if they don't want to read those gospel tracts, and they don't want to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, we want them to die and go to hell with a gospel tract in their hand. Judgment of sin. The reason why I'm still preaching today is because of that. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. When was the last time you invited a friend to come to church? Last Sunday in our church, they had 70. The other church, the other Sunday, they had 96. Praise God. And there are people there waiting for me for baptism in December 4. The other last Friday they had 41 in our Bible Institute. Praise God for that. And I told them, keep doing the job, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence. Brethren, let's keep preaching. Let's keep winning souls. Hello? Let's keep winning souls. Amen. Invite a friend. What about your loved ones? When we went to Maryland, I can't help it. I saw my cousin. I haven't seen her for 34 years. And we went when we went there, I told Brother Ken, Brother Ken, I would like you to witness to her. And he did. And she came to know Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Those are opportunities. Oh, we enjoy Sunday after Sunday. We enjoy the fellowship in church. We enjoy listening to the pastor preaching God's word. But what about our brothers and sisters? What about our relatives? What about our friends? What about your mom? What about your dad? What about your children? They will be judged someday. That judgment seat of Jesus Christ. I mean, that great white throne judgment. We should win them. Amen. If not because of that, I would stop preaching. You look at me today, as if I am not, I'm not operated. I don't look like I had a heart bypass. I'm still looking good, according to my wife. According to my wife, and mind you, my wife is the most beautiful lady. Yeah, in my house. Yeah. I'm excited about work. I'm excited about preaching. I'm excited about the Bible school. I never retire. I told the teenagers, the other, when was that? I don't remember. I told the teenagers, there's no retirement in the ministry. And to the pastors, there's no retirement. I never plan to, I don't have any plan to retire. Yeah. I don't have any plan to retire. The tire might get old, but I change the old tire with a new tire and keep on rolling. Retire. See? If there's no judgment of sin, there's no wrath of God. If there's no lake of fire waiting for the Christ rejecter, then there's no such thing as ministry. All our efforts and labors are in vain. Then our missionary program is just like a fundraising scheme, you know. Then all of us are left hopeless and are just waiting for death. Then the Bible is not true. And I would not be preaching tonight for even 1 minute if there's no judgment of sin. However, we read in Job chapter 36. Job chapter 36. Verses 17 to 18. But thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked. But thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold on thee, because there is wrath. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. You look at that. There is wrath. There is judgment of the wicked. Take heed. It says here, take heed, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Did you notice here that God says, there is no ransom that can deliver thee? Did you notice that God says that no amount of money can deliver an unsaved person from his wrath? Once they pass out into eternity, you cannot buy the salvation of a single person. No amount of money can buy my salvation and your salvation. It is only by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed on the cross of Calvary, that can buy our salvation. You see? Brethren, we are not for sale. Amen. Hello with me? Are you? Are you with me? In our Philippines, there are a lot of pastors who come here to America, Pastor Scott. They come here to America. I know many of them. They come here to America and they would beg for support. You know what? I never beg for support from anyone. Pastor Kenneth knows that. You see those churches that we have? Those churches were built from by the offerings of God's people. God provided that. We build up the churches, those buildings, two churches now. God bless His people in the Philippines. The God who is blessing America is the same God who can bless the Philippines. and never beg. There are those pastors who would come here in America. You know what? They would go to churches and change their doctrine. When they go back to the Philippines, they teach another doctrine. Why? Because they are for sale.
Amen.
I praise God that this church remained. I listened to every message here preached. You know, I'm not a baby anymore, you know. I'm getting old. I know how to criticize. I know how to listen. I know how to read. But praise God for the strength of this church. This church is sound in doctrine. Not because the pastor is there, but you know that. We are not for sale. Amen.
Amen.
We are not for sale. Why preach? Thirdly, I have a lot of things here, but I must stop. Okay. Thirdly, another reason is the love of Christ. Look at verse 14 of the same text. The third reason for preaching the gospel is found in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. For the love of Christ constraineth us. And if that fact doesn't motivate us to preach the gospel to others, then nothing else will. Are you with me? Amen. Are you still awake? Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now, one thing that motivates us, this is the greatest thing that motivates us, the love of Christ. I am not motivated with anything. I am motivated with the love of Christ. You teach that Sunday school because of the love of Christ. You sing in that choir because of the love of Christ. Are you with me? You give that offering because of the love of Christ. You preach God's word because of the love of Christ. You attend this church because of the love of Christ. And all other activities you do with this church because of the love of Christ, not because of anybody. If you do that because of so and so, when that person is no longer in church, then you are not in church anymore. You see? The love of Christ. Why? We love Him because He first loved us. Because He died on that cross for us. Because He is coming back very soon. Amen. Perhaps today or perhaps tonight. We love Him. In John 3:16, you know the verse? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Sapagkat gayon na lamang ang pagsinta ng Diyos ng sanglibutan na ibinigay niya ang kanyang bugtong na anak upang ang sinumang manampalataya sa kanya ay hindi mapahamak kundi magkakaroon ng buhay na walang hanggan. That's Tagalog of John 3:16. Kastalauna iti panagayat ti Diyos ti lobong minted na ti anak na nga bugbugtong tapno amin nga mamati kenkwa na saan mapukaw no dabiag nagnanayon. That's Ilocano. That's the third language. Praise the Lord. We have the love of God. It's greater far. Yes. Are you in love? Are you in love with the Lord?
Amen.
Then keep serving. Keep preaching. Keep winning souls. Keep winning souls. I believe that the best definition is love of love is 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. Let's define this. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That is love. In verse 19 of 1 John, we love Him because He first loved us. Remember, if we don't accept the love of God expressed in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, then we must accept the only alternative, the wrath of God. The choice is ours. If you are here and you are not yet saved, you must receive Christ as your Savior.
That's right.
Now you may tell me tonight, hey pastor, I'm a member of this church, I'm saved. I'm not saying that. Are you saved?
Yeah.
But pastor, I was baptized. That's not my question. Are you saved?
Yeah.
Are you with me? Amen. Hey, pastor, I'm singing in the choir. That's not my question. Are you saved? I'm a Baptist. Are you saved? You know what? You ask me, pastor, are you saved? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. It's not because I'm good looking. That's a joke. Because if only they say that, I hear one pastor, he said, if only good looking people will be saved, then what about you? You know what? The love of God. Last. Amen. Well, go home now. Verse 18. The ministry is the reason. Why preach? The ministry. The ministry. In verse 18, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We are told that since we Christians have been reconciled to God, we have the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? Reconciling the word to him. We have a duty. We have an assignment. We have a work. We reconcile people to Jesus, to God, through Jesus Christ. Soul winning that is. Amen. Soul winning. We have the SWAT in our, you've seen in the video, the SWAT. What is that? Soul winning action team. We go there by groups and witness to them. That is our assignment. Are you doing your assignment? Are we doing our assignment? Who is the teacher here? You know, I'm a teacher. I finished education other than my Bible college. I'm an educator. I'm a teacher. And so if I would tell my students, okay, this is your assignment, okay? The following day, pass your assignment. I have to check the assignment. One of these days, when we go to heaven, God is going to check if we did our assignment. And I would like to hear someday that my Lord will tell me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Why? Because you did your assignment. Ministry of reconciliation, it says here. In the book of Ezekiel, we find that, you know, it's in our hands. I don't want to die with a bloody hand. He said, I will require the blood of souls in your hand. The blood of your loved ones in your hand. We have an assignment. And lastly, so that we have longer time to pray, we are ambassadors of Christ. We keep on doing it because we are ambassadors. Look at verse 20. We say in the Philippines, 20. You say it 20, right? Okay. Oh my, I'm speaking like an American guy right now. Okay. But it says here in verse 20. All right, there you go. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. An ambassador from a foreign country always speaks well of his homeland and the reigning authority. If you are an ambassador of the Republic of the Philippines, you must know about the Philippines. If you are an ambassador of the United States, you know everything about the United States. Am I correct? So it should be with true Christians. We should speak well of heaven. And the one who sits enthroned at God's right hand, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian friend, listen. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Like all foreign ambassadors, we are temporary residents here on earth. The ambassador of the United States would stay in the Philippines temporarily and be representing the U.S. temporarily. And he would speak well of the United States of America. But not before long, he should go back to America, where he belongs. The Philippine ambassador to the U.S. would also do the same. That Filipino ambassador would speak well of the Philippines. He would know all about the Philippines, all the cultures in the Philippines, and he would share that in the U.S. But he must go back to the Philippines someday. Same true with us as ambassadors of Christ. We speak well of heaven. We speak well of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know all the things that would happen someday when Christ will come and take us home. And that's not before long. I would tell you that Jesus Christ promised one day, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Amen? Amen. Not rooms. Amen? Other versions in the Bible, they say room. But my King James Bible told me, mansion. I'm tired and sick of rooms here in this world. I want a mansion. Amen. You know what he said? In my Father's house are many mansions. I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We speak well of heaven. Because one of these days we will go back, or we'll go to heaven. Because that is the place where we belong. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. My, we are ambassadors. I challenge you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, here at Woodside, the pastor, beginning from the pastor, let us keep on doing the job. The men and women of this church keep supporting that pastor right there. When I came here the first time, he's not walking like this, you know. But now, he's a bit, you know, because of that operation, he needs men and women rallying behind him. He cannot do the job alone. He needs men and women who will support him. Let's keep doing the job. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. I would like to give back all the glory and all the honor to you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I was able, Lord, to share your word in this church. Father in heaven, may you continue to bless this ministry right here. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
All God's people said. Father, we are grateful for what we just heard. Thank you for the challenge that is to me and my heart. I want to continue to preach the word. I want to be looking for opportunities every day. Because I love you, Lord Jesus. I know I'm going to have to give an answer. I know that the lost will stand before the great white throne judgment, cast into hell if they've not received Christ. I know that, and I know the love of Christ constrains me. Oh, Lord, help us. Your head's bowed. Let me ask you this. How many of you would say, I am encouraged, I am challenged, I am encouraged to give the gospel every chance I get? May I see your hand, if that's so with you? Yes, you may put your hand down. Would you tell that to the Lord? Father, thank you. And Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, right now would be that time when they receive Christ. Your head's bowed. Do you know the Lord Jesus? I'm not asking if you're a member of a church. I'm not asking you if you've been baptized. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you born again, what the Bible says? Do you have a relationship with God through Christ? The Bible says it's being saved. Are you saved? You have eternal life. The only way you have that is not by your works, but by Jesus Christ. You say, I'm here tonight and I'm not sure. How do I know? Well, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, with your head bowed, you can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and ask Him to save you, give you eternal life, to be your Lord and Savior. And I can't do that for you, but I can help direct your prayer. You're here, you say, well, I'd like to do that. Well, let me guide your prayer. You whisper this to God. Don't pray it unless you mean it. Dear God, I know that I am a sinner. And I know Jesus Christ died for my sins and was buried and rose from the dead. I now, in the best way that I know how, receive Jesus Christ into my heart, into my life, as my Lord, my Master, my Savior. And I'm asking that in Jesus' name. Your head's bowed. Did you just pray that prayer to receive Christ? You say, well, yes, I did, and I meant it. May I see your hand if that's so with you? Yes, yes, yes. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Thank God. Let somebody know. Let somebody know. Father, we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Brother Mario. Praise the Lord.